Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again is Katie Wyatt. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Strengthen and renew us, O Lord. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Katie, last we were talking about your work in youth ministry, and I wanted to kind of continue that and your role specifically in mentoring young adults, teenagers, as disciples of the Lord. So we were talking the last time that we were together, we were talking about kind of the general philosophy of kind of walking with them and guiding, you know, guiding them as they grow as disciples and learning, you know, learning about the Lord and learning how to live this life. First, I guess the question is, I mean, what kind of influence or relationship does a youth minister have with their youth? I mean, clearly it's probably limited time a week if you've got them.
It's limited. It's becoming more limited, you know, just with procedures and best practices in place. Relational ministry is getting harder and harder and harder to do. But the good news is, you as youth minister, you cannot be the relationship to the kids. You have to have a team of people, and you have to have the best things we ever did in youth ministry were great big events, well-planned great big events. I need to clarify, because there were some really bad events too, but where the kids look around and they see, like, National Catholic Youth Conference, 20,000 Catholic teenagers. All of a sudden, our Catholic kids feel like, wow, this is an okay identity. And not only that, it brings me joy. It's an alternative to a world that's seeming pretty hopeless, you know? So,
well, like the March for Life.
March for Life is the best thing we ever did, because it's, you know, my ideal model for youth ministry, I think, would be about 6 retreats a year.
Yeah.
And really nothing else other than maybe a weekly prayer, you know, get together, touch. Because that's where you have to be able to strip away the barriers. You know, you have an hour and a half at most in a weekly program, and they come in with barriers. You're not going to get through those. You know, you might plant some seeds, but, and I don't mean split kids wide open and make them vulnerable. Like, that was never, ever, ever my approach. But they have to get to a place where they're comfortable experiencing Christ, encountering Christ, you know, where our hearts have to be vulnerable for us to encounter Christ. That's every single one of us, no matter how old we are or who we are. We have to allow our hearts to be vulnerable for Jesus. And teenagers.
You mentioned the last time that we spoke about the peer relationships. Now, was that other adults who are involved in it, or actually, like, maybe like seniors?
Juniors and seniors.
Okay.
Yeah. So, for example, for our confirmation program, each small group had 2 adult leaders and 2 peer leaders who just led the conversation, facilitated the conversation. And for the most part, we wanted that to be peer led, but you know, you don't want to lose any substance. You don't want to get, but that was a huge role that, at least in my program, that the peers played in the program, was that, you know, because a lot of kids come into the confirmation year, they don't want to be there. Their parents don't even really want them to be there. It's some sacramental checklist, you know. So to go in there and see these really faith-filled, strong, fun, normal peers leading, I mean, that was one of the things that really turned kids, you know, enabled kids to open their hearts.
And it seems to me, you know, that is a crucial kind of experience, because one of the ways that we learn to be a disciple is by accompanying others as disciples. So none of us have all of our stuff together yet, you know. But that shouldn't preclude us from kind of taking on people that are perhaps even more immature in the faith than we are, to kind of help them to grow.
Right.
And the Lord uses that really as a way to kind of instruct us.
Well, following him. Last time we talked, I said, you know, every single adult leader who ever volunteered for our youth ministry program came out of it stronger in their faith, a better Catholic, more willing to disciple and evangelize than when they started. For exactly that reason, the best way to learn is to teach. The best way, you know, to develop leadership is to be a leader. So, yeah.
Wonderful. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is again Katie Wyatt. We've been talking about youth ministry. I wanted to kind of in this, you know, as we move on in this conversation, is so many of our listeners are probably the parents or grandparents of high school age youth.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, one of the sad statistics, I carry, you know, a bag of sad statistics with me everywhere I go. One of the sad is 13 is sort of the average age when people leave the faith. My personal philosophy is that is when the issue of faith and reason is, it really begins to hit them in the educational system. It's also generally where they're entering into puberty, and there's a whole lot of other issues with that as well. But first, I guess, in general, what are your advice maybe for the parents of teenagers, of high school students, based on your experience as a youth minister?
Well, I know parents don't really have any control over this, but like as I said, we moved confirmation to ninth grade at Church of the Resurrection for exactly the reason you're naming. Because they're entering their freshman year in New Albany, they all take a class called Humanities. It wrecks them. It's where all of those first, like those college level questions that mm-hmm. I didn't have till I got to college are thrown at these kids, sometimes maliciously, especially the Christian kids. You know, sometimes the teachers are, if they're in confirmation year at the same time, we can provide a balance to mm-hmm. that. We can provide a counter to that. We can, you know, so, and I think we have pretty good retention rate at Resurrection because for that very simple. So I guess my advice, and I know that's not a popular, I know families want confirmation in eighth grade because then they're done.
I always say the fourth grade, but not, you know, not to get into a heated battle on the age of confirmation, but.
Well, since it's not in fourth grade and doesn't look like it's going to be in fourth grade anytime soon, if we want to use the opportunity for formation, then we need to do it later because for exactly the reason you said, you know, when they're 13 and
or you
faith
could do
reason.
It earlier to preempt the issue. So if
yeah,
they
but if
have
you do it early, okay, well anyway. Now we're going to get into yeah. But my point is you've got them. They're captive for that year. So do it well. So I don't ever encourage church hopping, but your confirmation program at your church better be solid. Mm. And parents, if it's not, do something about it.
Well,
you know,
I think that's a good solution to our to the disputes among the doctors is just make sure it's a good program.
Are you and I the doctors?
You got elevated.
I did.
Well, by being on this show, you were automatically elevated.
This is I cannot wait.
So I think one is, you know, with parents is make sure that your children get solid formation, not just in the home, which of course is the primary location, but also in you know, whatever parish program they're using.
And that's also really important because a lot of us send our kids to Catholic schools and think, okay, we're good, we're covered. But your kid also has to be plugged in to your mm-hmm. parish. I mean, because that's what our faith is.
Yeah.
You know, it's parish life. It's parish community. So don't think that the school is taking care of that for your kid because they're not. I mean, they try and they do a good job and there's a lot, you know, but yeah, let your parish fill in those gaps for sure.
What are some ways that parents can kind of mentor their children, their teenage and high school age children, as disciples?
They have to live the faith. Parents, we have to live the faith. There's no, and we have to make Jesus central to our families. Central, not one of the pockets of things that we do. But everything we do as a family has to stem from our foundation in Jesus. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way you're going to be successful. And not to be cliche, but we can't do sports on Sunday morning and not do church, you know, do sports instead. And we can't, because all we're doing is diluting what's most important, what's the only thing that's important, really, ultimately. So I know people think I'm preachy when I say stuff like that, but I mean, that's the answer.
Yeah.
There's no other way to do it. So it has to start with parents. And I'm going to tell you the saddest thing I ever saw in youth ministry, and I saw it so many times, was a kid on fire whose fire fizzled because it wasn't supported at home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're 14, you can't drive, you can't.
I'll tell you another sad thing. Not, you know, we will end this show with some upbeatness.
Okay.
You know, if anything, in a prayer. But, you know, one of the saddest things I've experienced as a priest is hearing confessions of school kids or kids where they say, well, Father, you know, I haven't been to Mass. And I'm like, well, you know, do you have your driver's license? No, I'm in the fourth grade. You know, like,
right.
Well, clearly you're not culpable for
right.
that.
That's
your
not
parents
your fault.
Are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, you know, it is at the heart. In the end of the day, it's about parents making Christ the center.
It is.
Well, yeah. Let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we ask that you just strengthen and renew all of our parents, those who are listening. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And this has been Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Katie Wyatt. And until next time, peace and all good.